Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to Cosmopolitan's All The Way With. I'm Paisley Gilmore.
And I'm Laura Capon. And this week we'll be joined by sex robot expert, Dr. Kate Devlin.
The way you said that made it sound like she was a robot. We'll be joined by sex robot expert.
I feel like we're a bit giddy today. And I just need
She's
to
a
say,
human. Yeah, sorry.
Our producer James just asked if this episode was going to be like Robot Wars with dildos, which is possibly my favourite thing he's ever said.
Sir Kill-A-Lot becomes Sir Bang-A-Lot and he's just dildos on his arms. We are adults. Oh. We are serious journalists.
Yeah, and Dr. Kate is an incredibly intelligent woman, so,
so we
get it together.
Get
come on.
Together. I'm actually weeping out of one eye.
I was going to make an awful joke then, but move on.
Keep it to yourself. Before we speak to Kate, I've been thinking this week, Elsie, about the concept of the sex bucket list. Like, I mean, I don't know if I need to explain the concept of a bucket list to you. Things on your list that you want to do sex-wise before you snuff it.
I feel like, because we discuss that intro beforehand. And I said I have never thought, I don't have a sex bucket list, but I assume that you do.
Well, yeah, but actually only because I've had to write about them before and then I thought, oh, I should have one of those.
Okay. Because you ticked off your threesome.
Well, now I've done that. We've got a list on the site of like sex bucket list ideas, and I've done them all now. So what? I can
completed
die now,
it, mate.
Completed it. So I know you didn't have a sex bucket list before, but in the past 10 minutes that you've had to think about it, anything that you'd like to pop in, on that list and tick off?
All I can think of, and it's more of a scenario maybe than say a technique, but it's really embarrassing.
Is it Jaws? Is it Zelda?
Stop it. So, I mean, it is quite cringe. So there's this awful film with Kelly Brook and what's his name? Billy Zane, right? And it's a bit of a late night Channel 5 thing. And they end up on this like deserted island and she starts sleeping with, I don't know if he's one of the shipmates or I don't know what you call them. But anyway, they have like, yeah, my bucket list is sex with a shipmate. It's not. But they have like this really intense sex on the beach, like kind of in the wave. And I just think that would be incredible. I know the reality would be very different and I would chafe and... I'd probably hate it and I'd get all like salt in my eyes and oh, but I think that sex on the shoreline with his shipmate. He doesn't have to be a working shit man.
I've got nothing to say.
But oh, do you know what I mean though? Like that just looked really hot.
Yeah, but practically probably not so.
Yeah, and just
hot.
The idea of like it's just an empty beach, you know what I mean? You don't have to worry about the kids building sandcastles next to you. There's no one there. Because that would be inappropriate.
Okay. Yeah, that's when it gets weird. Really interesting, Laura Capon. I can never predict what you're going to say, and that's one of the things I love most about you.
take that as a compliment.
Weirdly, so this company called onbuy.com did a survey of like almost 3,000 people about the, what's on their sex bucket list. And weirdly, sex on the shoreline with a shipmate didn't come up.
Didn't ask me then, did they?
Which is bizarre. Clearly not. One person said. But so for women, obviously, because they divided it into men and women, because women, the activity that topped their sex bucket lists was blindfolded sex.
Oh, number one. And wait, are they blindfolded, I'm guessing, or their partner?
They haven't specified. There's a fatal error in this survey.
they're both blindfolded.
Great. That's kind of what sex is like anyway, just awkward fumbling, don't know what you're doing.
I feel that shows then, actually how sweet and naive we all are. Do you know what I mean? That's our number one, just with a blindfold.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Number two, though, gets a bit bougie. Sex in a jacuzzi. sounded like a bingo caller.
Yeah, I did. Number two, sex in a jacuzzi. I get that one. Yeah, I get that.
I think it might be dangerous.
Again, I just don't think it's good as a woman to have water.
Yes.
Water sports.
That's something different, mate.
What's number three?
Number three was sex in a lift.
No. I think that comes... Have you seen Fatal Attraction? I think that comes from that.
Do they have sex in a lift?
Yeah, intensely.
My thing is that you've only got a matter of seconds between floors. What sexual experience is going to be good in 5 seconds?
Exactly. Let's keep going.
Do you want to go on to men?
Yes.
So men's top one was bringing in a third party.
Of course it was.
Classic men. Doesn't surprise anyone.
No.
Classic men. And I bet that third party is always a woman. It's never another man. And then the second one was video call sex.
Like sex over, like the Zoom parties one we've done.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I can see number three on here, and
say it.
I'm not on board. So number three is sex in a public toilet, which just, are we talking like public toilets, like streets of Soho?
Well, that's what I was imagining. But do they just mean like in a restaurant?
I don't think they mean in a nice restaurant. I think they mean like a train spotting toilet. Disgusting. Disgusting.
Really? disgusting. I think it's important to say there's a pandemic on and we really need to be quite clean at the moment. So don't know if sex in a public toilet. But then again, like for gay men in like throughout the past however many decades, sex in a public toilet has been the only way that they've been able to kind of like hook up and like meet each other and stuff. So I get where that comes from. But this is all a bunch of straight men. So you'd have to have your gloves and your mask on.
I think that's when I realise I am a bit of a prude because I just go in and be like, ooh, like looking around. If the, you know, if the floor's a bit wet.
Us. So if you had to do one of those things, put one of those on your sex bucket list, what are you going for?
So for the women, I'll do the jacuzzi sex.
Yeah, you will.
I'll risk the thrush. And for the men, the video call, obviously. What about
really
you?
Really nice. I want to do sex in a jacuzzi. I just want to be in a jacuzzi.
And video call or toilet?
It's like Sophie's choice.
Or the threesome. We didn't even include the threesome.
The threesome.
Okay. Shall we ask Dr. Kate what's on her sex bucket list? We're joined today by Dr. Kate Devlin, an expert in artificial intelligence and human-computer interaction. She's the go-to expert on sex robots, a lecturer at King's College London, and author of Turned On: Science, Sex and Robots. Kate also reckons she is the first person to utter the words sex robots in the House of Lords. What a legend. Welcome, Dr. Kate.
Thank you very much. I mean, maybe the first person, officially the first person. I don't know what they talk about on their tea break. So who knows?
How did you come to be such an expert on these matters?
It's sort of a circuitous route. I started off my career as an archaeologist. My first degree was in archaeology. So I was very interested in people and the way people interact with technology and create technology. And I ended up going to do a master's course and then a PhD in computer science. And I got more and more into the way people respond to emerging tech and artificial intelligence in particular. And then the sex part, I mean, who's not interested in that, right? It's a fascinating subject.
You're preaching to the choir here, yeah.
But we were all in the pub at a conference talking about, you know, things that robots could do. And one of the things that comes up a lot is about robots. Should we ever give them empathy? Should we ever get them to feel things that humans can feel? And of course, that turned to sex as well. And it was just fascinating. And I was seeing so many headlines about these sex robots, and they all seemed really dystopian and sensational. And I just didn't quite believe them. So I wanted to find out for myself. So I went off and started researching them.
So what do most people think a sex robot is compared to what they actually are?
We have this wonderful anticipation of what it should be from science fiction. So we think of all those fembots in movies, you know, yeah. Whether it's the
guns for tits. Really,
absolutely, right?
My mind went straight there.
Yeah, that would be, that's the prime example. Or even, you know, the one, the beautiful robot in Ex Machina, or, you know, Buffybot, all sorts of different things. And the reality is that there aren't even any for sale at the moment. There are a couple of prototypes out there in the world, and there's literally a handful of workshops in the world, maybe like 2-3 workshops in the world that are trying to develop these. And they're trying to develop them as really an add-on to the high-end sex doll market. So if you have a high-end expensive sex doll, then you add some kind of animatronics, you maybe add some AI, and you have a robot. So there's a working prototype out there called Harmony, and a similar version called Solana. That's by the company Abyss Creations, who make Real Doll. And that's the closest that people have really got.
So you can't buy them.
You can pre-order, apparently, but they're not actually being delivered to customers yet, as far as I know.
Okay.
And what can also Harmony, such a sex robot name. No offense to any Harmonies out there. quick disclaimer. What can Harmony actually do?
Well, not that much. For starters, she can't even stand up on her own. So they don't really have much balance. The only robotic bit is her head. So she has a robotic head, and she can smile, very beautiful, subtle smile, actually, and blink and turn her head. And she has a standalone AI personality. So that can be, you can just have the personality as an app on your phone. So you can have a virtual AI chatbot girlfriend, but it does integrate with the robot as well. And then she is basically, aside from that, she is the body of a sex doll.
So you could ask her questions and she'd reply?
Yeah, she will get to know you. So she will store information about you, and she's got access via Wi-Fi to the internet, so she can look up facts for you. She can sing you a song quite badly. She can tell you a terrible joke, and she can have a bit of a chat with you.
She's like Alexa.
kind of a more sophisticated Alexa. Sexy Alexa, yeah. But people already talk dirty to Alexa, so, you know, why not take it a stage further?
That's a very how do I say this politely, cis straight man view on what a sex robot should be, right?
It absolutely is. So that you've hit the nail right in the head. This is a market by men for men, and it's really, these dolls are, in particular, are bought by straight men, and they tend to be dolls in the form of a very reductive stereotype of femininity, sort of narrow waist, big breasts, curvaceous hips, you know, long blonde hair. It's all very Barbie-esque. So there isn't much diversity in this, unlike more generally and more broadly in sex tech. So it's very limited, and I think it will remain incredibly niche. First of all, because these are really expensive pieces of kit, so you're going to talk about $10,000 upwards for one of these things. And then, as well as that, you've got to think about the difficulty in making something like that, the complexity of making one, if you wanted one to move or walk around. That's really, really hard. It's why we don't have many humanoid robots in the world, because it's a very, very complex task. And my thoughts as well are that, practically speaking, this is really inconvenient, because where do you store it? This life-size creature in your home, you know, you've got to have a lot of space for these things. So I genuinely think you can never mistake this for a human. But interestingly, the people that they are aiming these at, the current people who own sex dolls, they are interested in this from a companionship aspect. So it's not about can I have a robot to have sex with? It's, can I have a robot that fulfills the role of a companion? And that's really emphasized in their marketing as well. They're very, very into putting this forward as something that creates intimacy and companionship and someone who is there for you. And the sex is almost secondary to that.
Is that something that they've kind of put out to their consumers and like had that feedback? Is that how they know?
Yeah, so the sex dolls that are bought today, although they are, the purpose is that you can have sex with these dolls, that's, for a few people, that's the primary purpose, because they fetishize the fact that it is a doll. But for many people, there's a really wide range of reasons why they might own one of the sex dolls. So some people want them for the companionship, so they give them backstories and names and they dress them up. And this is not a delusional thing at all. This is like a fantasy world, but not in a sort of damaging, delusional way. It's buying into role-playing and fantasy. Mm-hmm. For others, it's that they want to collect these, that they see them as pieces of art, or that they buy them and then they photograph them and style them and pose them. Some people are interested in them from engineering perspective. So there's a really wide range of reasons that people buy these. Some people are in relationships and they buy one. Others are alone and they like the idea of the projected companionship. There's no real distinct reason for people buying these dolls.
Do you think everyone that has bought, say, a Harmony has had sex with her?
I think that people who buy the dolls, many of them do have sex with the dolls. So with Harmony, the robot, so she's just in prototype form and there is someone who is testing her out, shall we say. So, and he reports back to the community of interested people. So he often appears in newspapers and things talking about it. So there are people who are actively trying them out. Yeah.
I feel like the general public's reaction to hearing stuff like that is kind of disgust, or to assume like people are perverted for wanting to do that. Why is that like such a common reaction? Because, I mean, it's not harming anyone, is it?
Right. And that's my thought as well. So I don't want to be the person I don't want to judge what other people get up to in their own homes in their own time. For me, that's something that is not harming anyone. And I don't really see anything wrong with it. We all have fantasies, fantasies that are often very unique to us, and some people want those fantasies to be in a tangible form, and why the hell not? So who are we to say that they can't do that? There's a lot of worry from some corners, people say, no, but that means they'll never be able to form real human relationships. And again, that's not necessarily true, because okay, first of all, what's so great about a real human relationship at times, right?
they're hard,
and I can understand if you've got an easy option you might want to go for that instead, but there are people who own dolls and have perfectly normal everyday relationships.
Why do you think it's more men buying them as opposed to women? Because if it is for that companionship, I'd say that women get lonely as well.
I think they do, but I think that women are socialized to make friends more easily. I think that's something that we are taught to do from a very young age. So, and we are also it's much easier for us, I think, to be able to pick up someone of the opposite sex if you're straight. And so maybe that's a factor, that women have it easier in that way. And then I do think that sociality is a big part of it. But also, this tech is just not being made for women. They do a male version of the doll. It's not anywhere near as popular as the female versions. And it's very hard to find women who will talk openly about owning one of them. So I think it's the fact that the tech has also never really been aimed at women, which is very similar to a lot of tech that is built these days. So women tend to be an afterthought in the design process.
Like how all the phones are too big for my tiny hands.
Yes. Well, exactly. Like or that. To fit in pockets. Not that we have pockets.
Yeah, and if we did.
When Apple released their health tracker, the first iteration of their health tracker, it didn't have anything to track periods. They just the designers just hadn't thought that that was something that anyone wanted to do.
And
There's so many things like that where you think, if you just asked a woman, can we, you know, it's terrible business sense as well, because you're missing out on half the world as a market. Yeah. So why do that? And if you think about all the voice assistants, all of those voice assistants that we have today started off with female voices.
Yeah.
And the manufacturers like to stress that this is not a deliberate and conscious choice. Well, I mean, it's still an unconscious bias in that case. And the fact that you can change some of them to different voices now goes some of the way to making up to it. But to me, it comes across that Silicon Valley wants to recreate the mother and the secretary in tech form.
Oh, that gave me a shiver. Yeah. So although sex robots as in walking, talking, shagging fembots don't exist, some iteration of sex robots do, right?
Yeah, but I honestly don't think that we'll ever see a mass production of this. I think it will remain fairly niche. Mm. There is a community worldwide of sex doll owners, and maybe it will grow to that size, but I can't see it becoming commonplace.
Yeah.
I think the novelty value is there initially, but there are many other forms of technology that can be used for pleasure. And also, a cheaper thing is perhaps, if you're looking for the companionship, to have these conversational AI companions. Mm. So maybe you don't need the whole robot.
Yeah, could you go into that a bit more, Kate, what exactly that is? So is it just like boyfriend, girlfriend app on your phone?
Yeah. So the one that Real Doll have developed is specifically an app that you can tweak the variables. So you can say, okay, I want her to be a bit flirty, a bit sexy, quite passive. You get to tweak all these different inputs to get the personality that you want to respond to you. And then you can have, it's just like a chatbot, you can have sort of conversation with her back and forward. And I'm calling her, I'm gendering the tech already. They are working on a male version as well of that one. But there are other examples. There's a Japanese company called Gatebox that made a holographic girlfriend in a little glass jar. It's so weird when you say that.
Why?
So you have this little projection. Well, it's this little holographic projection inside a kind of a case. And people are very, you know, again, this kind of companionship aspect. You can talk to this. Now, that's not got AI in it right now, but it's supposed to have AI. They're incorporating that in the future. So there are lots of examples out there of companies that are kind of jumping onto this and wanting to create friendly AIs and loving AIs and girlfriend experiences, boyfriend experiences.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Do you think in the future, because obviously I guess the concern is that robots would replace women and men, do you think that's something like in the future that could happen? You wouldn't be able to tell the difference?
I certainly think we'll always be able to tell the difference. There's the concept of the uncanny valley, which says that the closer something fake, something artificial looks to human, the more it creeps us out because we can tell it's not human and we get immediately creeped out. And we saw that in early days with computer generated imagery in films. So you could tell quite clearly when something wasn't quite human. And I think it was the film Polar Express that caused a lot of people to get quite about it. They're looking at it going, these are creepy. You know, it's like puppets and things like that where you go, oh, I don't like that. It's a bit too close to human. And so we have this really good way of detecting that. And there are lots of theories about why this might be. Some people think it's because it reminds us of death. It reminds us of corpses, you know, alive, was alive, now not alive. So it could be a very primal response that we don't like something that's unsettling. It could be that as our expectations grow, we get better and better at detecting these anomalies. So we are getting, you know, we've got computer generated imagery in films now where it's really hard to tell what's real and what's not.
All I can think of is cats.
Oh, don't
all I'm cats. Thinking, I'm thinking cats.
Oh, poor cats. I don't know what was worse about this film, the fact that they brought it out or the fact that they reissued it without the asshole. It's like, oh, it's bad enough, you've just made it 10 times worse. But yeah, that kind of thing. So there's always a part of us that gets quite unsettled about the artificiality. So I don't think that we're ever going to see indistinguishable from humans, because it's so complex, so technologically complex to make something like that. I mean, it's not going to happen in our lifetimes.
Sorry.
I'm just amusing.
I'm still thinking about assholes. What kind of sex tech stuff exists that could enhance our relationships and our sex lives?
Now, that is the exciting part. So there's lots of really cool stuff out there. And it started off with around the sort of the beginning of this century, so around 1999-2000, with that Sex in the City episode with the rabbit vibrator, and suddenly everybody wanted a rabbit vibrator. And the vibrator, I mean, the episode itself was quite moralistic. It was saying, you don't need a vibrator, you need a man. But everyone went, yeah, no, sod that, we want the vibrator. But the vibrator itself, the rabbit, it was created to get around obscenity laws. So you weren't allowed, in Japan where it originated, you're not allowed to make replica genitals because of obscenity reasons. You know, they can't resemble very closely human genitalia. So it was abstracted. It was turned into, you know, bright pink and with little bunny ears. And, you know, suddenly they've optimized the penis and it looks really useful. But this kind of move to abstraction in sex toys was fascinating to watch. And now we have really sort of shapes, weird shapes, and, you know, vibrators that you can bend and twist, ones that are egg shaped, ones that are tongue shaped, ones that are dragon shaped, you choose it. And I think that's fascinating. And then we also saw better and better connectivity. So you can also have smart sex toys now, sex toys that someone else can control from a distance, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then a couple of years ago, well, back in 2016, I ran a hackathon, which is a 24-hour sort of tech prototyping project that you get teams together and you get them to develop new forms of tech. And we brought together, it was my students did all the hard work on bringing people together. They brought together people from art backgrounds, music, psychology, industry, tech, and from all walks of life. And they got them to think about new forms of technology that jumped away from traditional ideas about sex toys. And the following year, we ran it again, where we said, we're not even just interested in sex anymore. We want to think about sensuous experiences and about intimacy and closeness. And that was really interesting because we have so much data about our bodies. We're wearing health trackers and, you know, we've got all this data being collected about us online. What if we can take that data and feed it back into the technology that we use, the sex toys that we use? And it's just been fascinating to explore that landscape and see what you can come up with.
So what kind of things might exist in the future based off that?
Well, a couple of the projects I really like. The first year there was sort of soft robotics in the form of like almost like tentacles that you could put anywhere in your body. And if you squeezed a controller that was shaped like a soft breast, they would curl around your body part. Like a hug, yeah. And it was just so cool. And I just thought it was really nice because it fits any body shape, any body type. It's not saying, here, you need a penis or a vagina for this. You can do whatever you want with it. And then also that year, a group did a project called Peacock. And what they did was they said, you know, if someone has a penis, you can tell when they're aroused very visibly, but not so with a vagina. So they got a vaginal egg and they put moisture sensors on it. And when the moisture sensors were triggered, it opened a giant paper peacock's tail. And it was like a visible sign of arousal. I just thought this was so cool because think of, it could drive anything. You could drive prosthetics with that. It would be so interesting. But as an artistic thing, it was really beautiful as well. It was just amazing. And then the following year, there was a group that made what I called a sensuous shawl and what they called a sex blanket. And it was essentially... It was like they got like a pashmina from a charity shop and they put some sensors in it. And you put this around your body. And then if you were in a virtual or augmented reality environment and say you were seeing virtual rose petals falling from the ceiling, you would feel the sensors go off on your skin as if they were hitting your skin. So you could have these virtual experiences that would trigger sensors to give you the real world feeling. And there's just so many interesting things you can do with that.
That's unreal, isn't it?
It's so nice. And there was another project where I ended up lying on lying across some chairs with all these plastic inflatable tubes around me. And when I flicked a little motor, the tubes all inflated and squeezed me like a big hug. I mean, it was partly really freaky, but partly really nice. But I think everyone wants a hug in this. You know, if only we could do internet hugs in the age of COVID, it would be amazing.
Do you think some of these things are being made because we are getting increasingly lonely because of all the tech that we have?
It's a real double-edged sword. And I'm very much a tech optimist who thinks that although the tech delivers us huge piles of awful things, we are using it in ways to connect like we've never connected before. So perhaps we are in some ways trying to replicate human connection. Yes, and I think that's a good thing. But also we're gaining so much. So people these days, because of the internet, have found their tribe. They find the people they can identify with. They find out about their sexuality. They find friends and partners. And online dating it's been great for hookups. It's also been great for long-term relationships. So I think there's a lot there to be a trade-off, really. We are seeing lifestyles that are fragmented and lonely, but that's not just the tech's fault. That's a much wider social picture. But we are also seeing the benefits of being connected. And I hate to think of the pandemic without technology. I mean, I haven't seen my family since January because they're in Northern Ireland and I can't travel to them. My dad was shielding for months, but I'm able to call them on a video chat and they're able to see their granddaughter. And I just think that that's so amazing. And if that was 10, 15, 20 years ago, we simply wouldn't have had that.
Yeah, I do totally agree with you on that. So how can we use this technology to enhance our real life relationship?
Lots of different ways. There's plenty of tech out there, and it doesn't even have to be that sophisticated or that smart. So I think people are finding out now, there was a surge in sex toy sales when lockdown first kicked in. rightly so. But I think people are realizing you don't need to have sex toys that necessarily connect remotely, because as long as you've got a phone link or a video link, you know, and you've got a sex toy and you've got a partner or partners at the other end of the line, then, you know, this is great. It works really well. You can still have that sexual experience. But there are lots of other things too. So there's plenty of apps out there. There are apps where you can, you know, discuss things about your relationships, for example, more easily than you would if someone was in the room. So you might not want to look your partner in the eye while you talk to them about your favourite fantasy, but you might be more willing to share it via some kind of app and let them know that way. So I think there's a lot of closeness that can be fostered via the technology, especially if people are a bit hesitant to talk face to face. And I know we all try to say, you know, if you're grown up enough to be having sex, you should be talking about it with the person you're having sex with. Yes, you should. But there are people who are not comfortable doing that yet. And if we can bridge that with technology, that could be quite nice.
How worried should we be about like privacy and security with that stuff? Just because I've reported on a few, like, I guess is data breaches the right terminology?
Yes,
of like
it
sex
really
tech
is.
Toys. But I guess that's just like par for the course, right?
It is, in a way. So there was one the other day, literally just the other day, there was a sex toy hack or a vulnerability that was revealed in a chastity device.
We read about it, didn't we, Laura?
Yeah.
We're obsessed with chastity devices.
Yeah, well, it's such an interesting thing because, you know, this Chinese company that makes this device, it turned out that the lock could be overridden and it could lock and you wouldn't be able to unlock it. And so it's not even that you're giving permission to someone remotely. The company can override that. Mm. So the person you think is doming you is actually the people who manufactured the device. That's really problematic. But the kickback on that immediately on Twitter and things like that is that, oh, well, people should never use these. And you think, hang on a minute, you can't put this technology back in the box. People want to use it, and why shouldn't they use it? And you don't hear people making quite so much of a fuss about other forms of data and data breaches. Like, I tweeted at the same time saying, you know, I'm okay with my sex data being out there. I mean, it's not great, but, you know, I'm about okay as I am with my health data being out there. Yet we are much more willing to hand over all sorts of data uncritically. So yeah, we should be thinking critically about where our data goes, absolutely. And there have been some hacks. There was a vibrator, the Wee Vibe, that was storing information about the users. And that's a pretty normal thing for a device to do. So it was taking information and sending it back to the company. And it was doing that every minute of use, roughly. And a lot of devices will do things like that so that companies can monitor the performance of the device. But what it was doing was not anonymizing the data. So the data that was coming back was linked to the email address that people had signed up to the app with. And so that data was their sexual patterns, their use, the temperature of the device, things like this, were all being stored with their email addresses. And that is a really, really problematic thing.
Yeah, we thought this case might come up. And in a statement following the breach, WeVibe actually said, "At Standard Innovation, we take customer privacy and data security seriously. We have enhanced our privacy notice, increased app security, provided customers with more choice in the data they share, and we continue to work with leading privacy and security experts to enhance the app. With this settlement, Standard Innovation can continue to focus on making new innovative products for our customers."
So yes, sexual data is sensitive because it can lead to harm. It can lead to people getting killed in some places if that data gets out. You know, in places that don't tolerate homosexuality, people's lives could be at risk. So it is really, really risky. And people do want to be sensitive. And it's interesting how we adapt over time to what kind of data we send. So a friend once remarked, you know, I don't have a problem sending people pictures of my genitals as long as my face is in the picture. And you're like, yeah, it's really odd. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of one way around it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, or watermark the pictures or whatever, you know. So it's strange, the things we come up with. So yeah, we should be careful about data, how much you trust someone. Start there. There's your flaw. You're only as secure as your least secured contact when it comes to selling this stuff. And I think people should be careful. And this stuff stays around for a very long time, as lots of teenagers end up finding out too late when pictures go viral, get shared. And that's a crime. And but even when those pictures are removed, you know, you can't guarantee they're not out there, and you can't. The impact that has is huge. So yes, we should always be really safe. With smart sex toys, there are people out there who check them for security flaws. There are people who work as white hat hackers to be able to say, this needs fixed, this is dodgy, which is what happened with that chastity device. So there are people who look at security of sex tech in particular.
Paisley, you've given me a Wee Vibe. Next time I use it, I'm gonna use it in the morning just to throw off their data.
They'll be like, oh God, this isn't like Laura.
What's happening?
It's so interesting because it throws up all these questions about consent as well. So what if you have a smart sex toy that you give someone you trust control of it from a distance? How do you know it's really them? Is it sexual assault if someone else takes over it?
Oh my God.
It's a real grey area that we haven't quite worked out where that goes.
And I'm guessing our laws don't extend to that because they don't even extend to the kind of basics of consent in some ways.
Yeah, the law finds it really hard to keep up with tech laws. And when it comes to sex law, the law tends to be quite heavy-handed. If you look at things like the Digital Economy Bill that wanted to ban all kinds of pornography for being just too much, whatever, it really wasn't just too much. It was actually just a kink-shaming law.
Yeah.
So, you know, they dialed back on that. So I think that we have to wait a long time for the law to catch up. They do good in some areas, but yeah, they kind of, I hate the name revenge porn, it's a horrible term, but they were good to bring that, eventually that got brought into law. But yeah, there's usually a real lapse between what needs to be covered by law and what actually is.
Mm. So there's talk of how sex robots could be a solution to incel culture. What are your thoughts on that? And can you kind of briefly explain incel culture as well for anyone that doesn't know?
So incel stands for involuntary celibate. And this was initially a term coined by someone who said, you know, it was initially termed by a woman actually, who said, you know, I want to have sex, but I'm not able to have sex. So I'm an involuntary celibate. But it got jumped upon by a bunch of rather misogynistic young men who really feel entitled to having sex, but feel they are missing out, and women owe them sex, but are not giving them sex. And they are really very poisoned and misogynistic against women. And when I was writing my book about sex tech, I had to go on some of the forums, and it was horrible. It was really horrible. And there are people who have killed, who have murdered in the name of incels. So they have driven, there was a case in Toronto where someone who said he was an incel, and that's what motivated him, drove a van at a group of people to kill them, because he was really messed up by this idea that everyone in society was out there having fun, having sex, and he wasn't getting any, basically. It's really, really horrible. It's weaponized misogyny. And there was talk then, oh, well, if incels had sex robots, then that would solve that problem. And I just think, no, that's not how it works. You can't engineer this out of people. And, you know, there actually was talk on the forum, some people saying, what if you had this perfectly biddable woman, which is what they really want, is the perfect biddable woman. And some of them were replying, well, that's just a cope. That's not real. It won't be real until the actual women submit. Oh. You know, it's really grim. It's really, really grim. So, no, I don't think that's a solution at all. I think that's just wishful thinking in terms of people suggesting that.
It sounds like putting a plaster over a gunshot wound.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many really worrying, radicalized factors going on there.
Did you call yourself like tech positive, or have I just imagined
tech
that?
Tech positive, I did. I'm a tech optimist. I really am. And it's weird because day to day I'm teaching students about the really negative impacts of things like AI on society, because there are so many. And yet I'm still convinced that technology can be a really good thing for us and can bring humans closer together.
And do you think we could all, because I feel like, until I met Paisley, I always say this, I'd never used a sex toy. I feel like among straight females, sometimes it can be a bit of a taboo thing. But do you think we could all benefit from a sex toy?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's a really lovely thing. And it's been very, very difficult sometimes in academia to say, well, I'm researching sex, but I'm researching it because of pleasure. Because a lot of the time you're expected to research it because of health or biology or psychology. And, you know, there are a few of us, a small handful of us, that are researching it because we think that people enjoy pleasure and that sex is such a fundamental part of our existence as humans. Some people choose not to do that. Some people don't feel the urge, but quite a lot of people have this drive that's part of being human to go and have sex and seek out pleasure. And I think that if we can use technology to help us feel good and happy about ourselves, and that's a really lovely thing.
I'm welling up.
I feel really bad for our analogy at the beginning. Well, actually, James is. This conversation will be like Robot Wars with dildos. How insulting.
My friend termed sex robots as dildos with faces. It's like, it's a bit more technologically sophisticated than that.
Thank you so much. Honestly, that was like fascinating and weirdly moving. So yeah, thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
If people want to find your book, Kate, or anything else about you, where can they do that?
So if they just Google Turned On Science, Sex and Robots, and you'll find loads of places to buy the book. And you can always find me on Twitter ranting about something at Dr. Kate Devlin.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Laura,
I feel really proud of us for having such a intelligent episode.
Don't put us down like that. All our episodes intelligent.
Okay. But you know what I mean? That was just so interesting.
I loved it. I think she's incredible. for me, what I found most striking was, like, I think in general, as people, we tend to talk so easily about how awful tech is and how it's ruining our, like, relationships and our emotional intelligence. But the way Kate speaks about it shows that we could use it for good and to enhance our relationships. I just think that's so interesting and positive.
Exactly. And especially her point about now, with obviously living in a pandemic, I can't imagine that without technology. And although at first, like, it made me laugh when she said those things designed to kind of hug you, but so many people are alone now because they literally have no choice.
Yeah.
So it's incredible that we can actually design these things.
I know, it could change people's lives.
So basically, we're on board with sex robots.
100%. Yeah. Harmony, not for me. Hugging tentacles, I'm into it.
This brings us to the end of this episode of Cosmopolitans All The Way With. Thanks to Kate for joining us and you for listening. If you have any sex questions or dating dilemmas, message us on Twitter or Instagram at CosmopolitanUK.
Cosmopolitans All The Way With was recorded by Number 8 Studios remotely and is available to download on Acast, iTunes and all the usual podcast apps.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.